Are market players getting blasé about international tensions? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Edgy rhetoric used to cause investors to scurry into the perceived safety of bonds away from the exposure of stocks. But despite the amped up tweets and headlines in international affairs and trade this week, markets continue to tick along. David Kelly is chief global strategist at JP Morgan Funds.
There's obviously a building tariff war, or certainly a war of words, and the threat of higher tariffs. But that's not all. I mean, I think we've got the Iranian sanctions. You've got a spat between Saudi Arabia and Canada. At the moment, none of this, I think, slows the U.S. economy or really has that much impact on markets. But it is a building problem, and you know, I think more broadly, sort of chest thumping nationalism around the world, I think ultimately is bad for the global economy.
One would think, perhaps in this environment, that market participants would remove a little risk from the portfolios, yet we're looking at a higher stock market yet again today.
Well, I think markets adapt. And I mean, I remember a few years ago when Ben Bernanke had the temerity to suggest that at some stage they might remove quantitative easing. Just that whisper was enough to cause chaos in the markets. But I think we've got sort of a numbed to strong rhetoric around the world. So now people assume that the bark will be greater than the bite rather than the other way around. And I think that's helping markets. But also, corporate profits are good here in the United States, but around the world. And ultimately, strong profits, low interest rates do support markets.
All right. David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds. Thank you for the briefing.
Anytime.
We mentioned Canada there. Saudi Arabia pledged no new business with Canadian companies after the Canadian ambassador criticized the treatment of some Saudi advocates of women's rights. The Turkish currency has fallen an unhealthy 6% in the last few days. A U.S. dollar buys 5.3 now. The benchmark interest rate there is at about 20%. The American embassy in Turkey has strongly denied unsourced Turkish media reports that some unnamed American official was talking down the Turkish lira. The U.S. embassy said the reports are made up and baseless. The U.S. sanctioned Turkey recently after Turkey detained a U.S. pastor on spying charges. People in Missouri today will vote on possible new powers to undercut private sector labor unions. Supporters use the phrase right to work. If approved, Missouri would join 20 other states in allowing workers to opt out of paying union dues, even if they're getting the benefits of a union contract. Millions of dollars for and against the measure have poured in from Missouri and outside sources. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more.
The union-backed group We Are Missouri is using TV ads like this one. A man named Jesse warns voters. He lives in Oklahoma, where right to work passed in 2001.
Since it's become a right to work state, we've lost tens of thousands of jobs.
We Are Missouri has collected money from unions all over the country, some $15.2 million. They say a right to work law would weaken the union's ability to bargain for higher wages. And the Wall Street Journal reports the group has raised about five times more than its opponents. Spokeswoman Erin Schrempf says the law would hurt growth in non-union shops.
They ultimately raise their wages and benefits to compete with union shops that are in those industries.
Ray McCarty runs the Associated Industries of Missouri and supports right to work. He hasn't contributed to the campaign, but he says he believes it'll pass because it makes sense for the state's business climate.
Missouri will be able to compete for jobs from companies that will only locate in right to work states.
If passed, Missouri would become the 28th state to enact the law. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible. Arkansas is one of three states with federal permission to tie Medicaid benefits to getting a job. Eight other states are pushing for this, although a federal judge blocked Kentucky's bid to try this in June. Now, these programs require some low-income people to prove that they are working to get health care coverage from the state. Arkansas Public Media's Sarah Weitz-Kotacek reports on how that's working out so far in Arkansas.
Anna Book is a 37-year-old homeless woman in Little Rock. Sometimes she works in food service and finds other ways to get by.
Dumpster diving for, cans, or walking around gas stations picking up change.
Book has health insurance through Arkansas's version of the Affordable Care Act, And because she's homeless, she may not need to meet the work requirement. But she has to request an exemption online and doesn't have regular access to a computer. Others in the program must document 80 hours of work, study, or volunteer time every month. Arkansas's Republican Governor Asa Hutchinson says the goal is to motivate tens of thousands of people to get back to work.
Work requirement will give people responsibility to, if they're underemployed or if they don't have sufficient training, to go over to our Department of Workforce Services, get evaluated, get referred for more training, for a better paying job. That's the goal and the objective.
Several states like Kentucky, New Hampshire, and Indiana are part of the experiment to add work requirements to Medicaid. Marquita Little is with Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families.
I think it's just based on that kind of false narrative that people who are living in poverty live in poverty because they choose to. It's a much more complex issue.
She says it's unrealistic to expect low-income people to figure out the new system and document their activities online. For Book, who's homeless, it's hard to just get snail mail. Hers is delivered to this church in downtown Little Rock that gives free dinner on Wednesdays.
Mail call. If you think you have mail, go up there and check with Pastor Gail.
That's church pastor Paul Atkins. He says he plans to submit Book's exemption request for her. 10,000 people were supposed to report their work as the Arkansas requirements phase in, but nearly 7,500 of them have not done that as of June. In Little Rock, I'm Sarah Weitz-Kotecheck for Marketplace.
And you know the U.S. job market is quite strong when people feel emboldened to leave for greener pastures. In May, 3 million people quit. In a few minutes, we'll know the fresh number for June. Last time through, more people were voluntarily quitting in finance, insurance, healthcare, transportation, and the warehouse business. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.